What's up? Welcome to Canucks Talk here on Sportsnet 650. I'm Jamie Dodd. My co-host is Thomas Drantz. Drantz covers the team for The Athletic. Also, we're broadcasting live from the Kintec studio. Kintec Footwear and Orthotics working together with you in Step 650. 650 is the Dunbar Lumber text line. This hour of Canucks Talk is brought to you by Rack Steel. You need forklifts that perform under pressure and pallet racking that maximizes your space. Visit them online at racksteel.com. Big Wednesday edition of the show. As always, we've got the crossover with Donnie and Dolly coming up in a few minutes here. Could be an interesting one today. I'm just going to say that. There's been some behind-the-scenes drama. Much like the Canucks, there's been some behind-the-scenes drama surrounding the crossover today. So
Rick wants to keep it short to suck up to the Toronto media types.
Yeah.
Classic whiny Rick Dolly.
He's got a Toronto media appointment in two hours. And for some reason, that means we have to cut things short today.
At some point, he's got to decide where his loyalties lie, with this market or with his Toronto brunch dates.
I don't know if he needs like 90 minutes to do his hair or something for the Toronto show, but I don't know.
Pay for parking.
We'll see. We'll get into that with Rick Dollywall and Don Taylor coming up on the crossover here in a few minutes. And of course, Jason Bukla joins us at 1 from Sportsnet's NHL coverage. And there's a lot going on. They got a massive game tonight against the Calgary Flames and coming off a very, very disappointing loss last night to the Montreal Canadiens as their playoff chances take a big hit, and I don't know if we're quite at season on the line territory yet in this game against Calgary, but man, if you drop this one after dropping the 2 points last night, your playoff chances they're on life support. You are very much in desperation mode now for the Vancouver Canucks.
It's a large game in the context of the Western Conference playoff race, but I also think we need to keep it in perspective. You know, the truth is that for the Canucks, winning this game, the upside is limited, Jamie, if we're being honest, right? The Canucks win this game. What they really get is the ability to avoid accusations of this was a disaster season. And it doesn't ensure that they get to avoid those allegations. It just makes it more likely. This Calgary Flames team has spent the last 24 years or 24 months, the last 24 years spinning its wheels and the last 24 months fundamentally rebuilding. I mean, the amount of veteran talent that they've sent out the door in Noah Hanifin, right? You can go back to Matthew Tkachuk, but that wasn't really a rebuilding move. But Elias Lindholm.
Toffoli. Markstrom.
Right. Just go down the list. I mean, this roster bears no resemblance to the one 2 years ago. And so Calgary decided, hey, this is time for us to take a breath finally. We're going to accumulate some future talent. We're going to try to build for the future a little bit. We still want to compete short term. We're not selling our vets down the river. We're going to challenge them to be good team guys, good organizational guys, show our young guys the way. We're not going to panic deal Rasmus Anderson if we can't get an extension done. Although I guess he's not extension eligible until the summer, right? So anyway, and here they are. Ahead of the Vancouver Canucks with a chance to like take a pretty commanding lead as the more rested team on home ice against a team playing the second leg of a back-to-back and rushing their star player back because it's so high stakes for the Canucks. If the Canucks win though, what do you get? A more probable opportunity to avoid, like they get the right to compete to avoid getting swept by Winnipeg perhaps. If they win this, like
they don't actually get that, right? You're basically in a dead heat with Calgary. Yeah.
Right. My point being that this is an asymmetrical situation. The stakes are high and you'll hear a lot of big game talk and that's right and fair, but it's not one of those where it's like, and if they win, opportunity knocks. And if they lose, oh no, it's over. It's not quite that dramatic. It's more downside. In some ways,
mm-hmm.
The upside is the right to continue to play for your playoff life. That's it.
All right. It is Wednesday, so let's get it going here. It's time for the crossover with Donnie and Dolly. You can check them out on Donnie and Dolly Monday to Friday, 10 to noon on Check TV. And they are, of course, Don Taylor and the big Toronto media star himself, Rick Dollywall. He's got a very, very busy schedule. with appointments with the Toronto media, so we're just glad he could squeeze us in here. How you guys doing?
Good.
Couldn't be better.
So, Rick, just give us a sense here. So you have a hit with Kipper and Bourne. Of course, you can hear that on Sportsnet 650 every day here on Kipper and Bourne. At 2, if I'm not mistaken. What goes into the preparation process for that, such that you will need to be out of here in like 10 minutes?
So have you ever driven from downtown Vancouver to White Rock? Like, has that ever dawned upon you that it's not 10 minutes? Yeah, the bridge by our station, it's got tons of construction. It takes hours to get through it. It's ridiculous. That's why.
Hours. You better leave right now.
Yeah, you're already late.
How many pieces of fruit do you need to buy and consume before the 2 p.m. hit on Kipper and Bourne, Dolly?
I just ate 2 bananas. I got the oranges and the apple for the trip home.
There you go. The long trip home. You got to pack the sustenance for the 3 or 4 hour trip home.
Our fibrous friend, Rick Dollywall. Hey, Rick, what were your thoughts on last night's Canucks loss and the stakes of the game tonight?
Well, Talk had said, I want to see a desperate team, yet the other team looked desperate and came out and scored 66 seconds into the game. And their top line, how fun is that to watch? Young, skilled, fast. Hey, can you imagine a line like that in Vancouver someday? I know they had to go, to the bottom of the standings to get that. Especially with the first overall pick, Sefcovski. And Caulfield, we all know about Vancouver, and Podkolzin and Suzuki they got from Vegas. But young, fast, skilled. I would love to see a line like that in Vancouver someday. They didn't have an answer for those guys. And clearly the Canucks' top players, again, look, Brock Besser is going to have to pick it up here soon, guys. If they're going to make the playoffs, no goals in 9 games, 4 in his last 23, 2 goals since Miller left. I know he's going to say, you traded my favorite center away. He has no chemistry with the last 3 centers he's played with, Hedl, Pettersson, and Suter. So clearly he doesn't. They're not getting him the puck. And so they got to figure that out because, they're one of the lowest scoring teams. They are the lowest scoring team in the NHL since January 1st, 14 games in a row, 3 or fewer goals. Their top 6 guys can't be passengers. And last night, the Habs' first line was all they needed. And yet the Canucks' top 6, and Donnie mentioned this on the show, is the top 6 for the Canucks. They're just not showing up on a regular basis.
I didn't notice the Canucks till the third period. That first line was just fabulous.
You noticed them in the third period?
It was a game where the Canucks
outside of the 2-point shot,
Thomas, it was 3.
Outside of the 2-point shot goals that found their way past Sam Montembeau, they were outshot. They were outshot 5-on-5 in the third period, up 3 at home.
The bar is set low, Thomas. You know that. Let's get back to the first.
I'm like
two
a turtle. You know how a T-Rex doesn't see things that stay still? I don't see fake comebacks.
Okay. Well, bottom line is they had a good chance, despite what you say, and despite them getting outshot, of
setting
that
chance.
Game, it seemed like they had a good chance.
Come on.
Hold on a second here.
Oh,
so you're
boy.
Saying 3-2 is the same as 3-0.
They made it 3-2, and then the Suzuki line immediately set up shop for a 90-second shift. Like, even if the Canucks had tied it up, they had no chance of hitting the Habs fastball. Like, there was no world where the Canucks were going to be the more likely team to get the next goal at any point against that Montreal team last night. Mm-hmm. Just true. Just is what it is.
All right. We weren't watching the same third period. Okay. So, anyway, that first line with Slavkovsky, Caulfield, and Suzuki, here's what bothered me about them. First of all, they're great. But that focus on youth and the draft picks, good trade with Vegas to get Suzuki. But they had a chance to get Nick Suzuki in 2017. That's when they took Elias Pettersson. And then with Caulfield, I've gone on and on with this on the show. And that guy, he was a stud early on.
Yeah, he's
and
sick.
Now he's bulked up in a good way. And they took Vasily Podkolzin. Last time I checked, he's up Highway 2 playing for Edmonton. That was frustrating to watch, I'm sure, for a lot of Canuck fans last night. They were outstanding, although they dropped off a lot in the third period when the Canucks almost won that game.
I thought they were clearly the better team in the third period, and the shot counter says the same thing. Hey, You know what's frustrating to me,
Donnie?
So does
that mean that the Canucks were the better team overall because they outshot the Habs?
Well, no. Of course they did. They were trailing the entire game. You expect a trailing team to outshoot their opposition. What you don't expect is a team that goes into the third period
not
down 3-0 to get outshot 9-3 at 5-on-5. Like, that's a dreadful performance, no matter how you cut it. Anyway, enough Hockey 101 for you, Donnie. I want to build on what you said about the Habs first line and how nice it would be in Vancouver. Jeff Gorton, who's got eight words in his title. I hope he gets paid by the words in his title. I don't remember exactly what it is. It's not president of hockey ops. It's like lieutenant governor of hockey operations and management. He's got the weirdest title in hockey. But he was hired a week before the Canucks fired Jim Benning, 2 weeks before the Canucks hired Jim Rutherford. So these two teams, both listing at the exact same time, changed management and took as disparate a path forward as you possibly could, right? The Habs, as Dhaliwal alluded to, were willing to sink to the bottom of the standings. They traded Shea Weber's contract. They traded Jeff Petrie, Joel Edmondson, Ben Chiarot, on and on. I mean, the list goes on about all the deals that they've made. Tyler Toffoli. They rented Sean Monahan for a year and then traded him and then re-signed him.
Pacioretty.
Right. That one goes a little further back, but yes. Point being, this Habs team very thoughtfully decided that they needed to take a step back and accumulate talent. They've made 39 draft picks across the last 4 years since Gorton took over. And here we are. Now, the Canucks had last year's playoff run. They've got that to show for it. But the Habs are here basically equal to the Vancouver Canucks today. And which team would you expect to get stronger as the years go forward? Like, which team is better positioned to make their next Stanley Cup final now? You know, I mean, Rutherford and Alvin, I think they've done a pretty good job in free agency with cap management. I think there's been a lot of good work. I think they've done a great job pro scouting, identifying guys like Filip Hronek and how they would fit. But the overall direction, right? Montreal being willing to take that step back and accumulate talent is so powerful.
Thomas, what time does this hit go to? Are you going to ask a question or what? What's going on?
It's so powerful.
Why are you talking about Montreal? Who cares? We're in Vancouver, for crying out loud.
You were just talking about the Montreal first line. I thought I was building on your point.
Yeah, the game last night. You want to go into the history of, hey. And
you
were
going
Lane
into
Hudson,
the history. You were bringing up Caulfield Podkolzin,
yes,
which happened in 2019, further back than what I'm talking about. What are you talking about?
Okay.
Oh, you're bringing up ancient history. Vasily Podkolzin over Caulfield happened 2 years before what I'm talking about.
Okay, and Lane Hudson, who's going to be a fabulous player, should
be the
Rookie of the Year this year. And they got the Russian kid coming, Demidov. They got the Russian kid coming up too. Hey, so you're right. They went down, but it takes
Mr. Toronto Media.
To get to your point,
not back in Macklin Celebrini here. Come on.
Okay, to get to your point, Montreal all the way, that's the team that has the brighter future, and it's frustrating because you and I think everybody agrees on this, you know, like rebuilding and having a focus, some sort of focus, in this case a focus to the future, has been the way to go for the Canucks for a long, long time, and it's frustrating. It was frustrating to watch that last night, all those great young players on the Montreal Canadiens. And it just looked like they knew what they were doing on the ice and off the ice at the same time. It's not even close.
And you didn't mention, Thomas, which is one of the most important things, is a rebuild can't take place without ownership and ownership signing off. And obviously, clearly, the Habs owner signed off because he's not allowing that, right? Because in a rebuild, season tickets go down, you know, blah, 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 the whole nine yards. The owner in this city, we all know about the Lyndon Benning Francesco meeting where, you know, Trevor said, let's tear it down. He did the research. He did the homework. And the other guy said, no, I can get us back to respectability in 2 years. Like, one of the biggest things about a rebuild, Thomas, is you have to have ownership sign off. And if they don't, guess what? And Don's been hammering the rebuild for a while, and I think he's right. But you can't do it without ownership signing off.
or at least something that looks like a rebuild. And I have to, and Thomas and I have been going at each other here, but you've been doing the same thing, Thomas. You've been stuck by your guns when it comes to a rebuild or something like a at least some sort
of. You don't even have to call it a rebuild.
It's clearly the way to go when you look at Montreal.
They never did.
Small R rebuild. Remember that?
Gordon would never refer to it as a rebuild. He never did. He was, like, disciplined about it because at the end of the day, it's just a buzzword that people overreact to. The truth is that if you want one of those durable windows where you make the playoffs every year and give yourself a shot to get lucky in the playoffs, you need to accumulate enough talent. This team doesn't have enough talent. And that's why everyone's always blaming the coaches, right, or blaming individual player performance. And it's like, yeah, that's part of it. Both things matter. Don't get me wrong. But this team's issue has long been that everything has to go right for them to make it once in 4 years.
And I think the fact that...
You know what bothers me? Let me get... Sorry, Jamie, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you brought up the coach, right? And I think one of the weird things here is you think about all the turnover and the change that happens with a rebuild, and there was a desire to avoid that, but you start to look ahead to the near future here, and next year, this is a very, very different team. Already with JT Miller out, now Brock Besser looks likely to leave. Uncertainty around Thatcher Demko, uncertainty around Elias Pettersson, uncertainty around the coach as well. So all of a sudden, so many of your key pieces that maybe had things looking like they were on the right path are going to be gone anyways. And I think the big question now is, you know, I get the, hey, we don't want to rebuild if Quinn Hughes is still here thing. That's fair. But what does the direction look like? And I think so much of it starts with Tocchet. I know you guys have mentioned on your show this week how frustrated he seems with the media, how frustrated he seems with his team, with just the entire, with Farhan specifically, just with this whole situation in Vancouver. And I got to wonder, I mean, if they're going to be looking, if they're going to have to look for a new coach in the summer, because when I watch Tocchet right now, it doesn't seem like a guy who'd be eager to sign up for more of this to me.
I think he sways towards the positive usually, and checks himself a lot. I think he wants to say more, but it comes out positive. But the last week or so, you've seen him nibbling around the edges of negativity, right? You've seen that, like the whole spiel on the assistant captains, the alternate captains. But I just want to get back to something that Thomas was talking about. And you too, Jamie, as well. When it comes to the rebuild thing and Jeff Gordon and all these management types and owners, they don't want to say rebuild. And the number one reason they don't want to say rebuild is because they think it's going to hurt they're going to hurt them at the gate.
Consumer confidence.
Exactly. But, like, you're not giving people in Vancouver or any other knowledgeable hockey market any credit at all. People want a rebuild because it's the way to go. And they're smart enough to know it might take a while. Not every situation is going to be Buffalo. It might be Montreal, which is just fine. People would be fine with that. It might hurt you a little bit short term, but in the long run, give me a focus. Give me, you know, something to do with youth, and I think people would be okay.
Habs fans love that.
I'm talking about not just me, but everybody.
And if you want to talk about consumer confidence, you haven't exactly dodged that bullet of hurting consumer confidence, right? Like, the consumer confidence is absolutely cratered right now because of the path they've chosen. So, yeah, hey, you can say, well, you know, fans, we got to make sure fans are still invested. Fans are getting uninvested right now. I'm sure you guys see it or hear it on your show. We see it in the Dunbar Lumber text line all the time. Like, you have not avoided that pitfall of a potential rebuild with this path.
That's why Donnie's pretending they played so well in the third. He needs to drive that interest. Hey, Rex, sorry.
There you go. Yeah. Okay. We should see our ratings.
The problem with the rebuild is there's no guaranteed set date. So Buffalo, 14 years. Arizona went
Montreal,
through.
Montreal, four
I
years.
Think 10 years. Your favorite, Florida, went through so many bad years before.
Yeah, who'd want that?
There's no guarantee.
Who'd want to be Florida?
Hold it. You can't go. Thomas!
Don't criticize Florida on Thomas.
You can't go to an owner and say it's going to be this many set years because you don't know how many set years. You just don't know that.
Hate to win
and
the
Jamie,
Stanley
I want
Cup.
To bring up something about the coach. But
hate to win the Stanley Cup and make back-to-back finals and be on pace to do it again. Hate
how
that.
Many teams?
Who wants to be Florida?
Forget about rebuilds. Forget about rebuilds. How many teams are in the rookie middle?
Why do you always use the, like, there's so many successful teams that have gone through, like, look at Columbus.
Tampa Bay.
Look at Columbus. Columbus pulled off that incredible upset over the Tampa Bay Lightning. Remember that first round series where they loaded up Panarin, Duchesne? That was 2019. Like, yeah, it's a long time. That's 5 years. It's been some pain. But, like, it's not that wild. And that team's rock stars, man. Like, that's so much fun. If you had Fantilli, Kent Johnson, if you had a team
again,
like that in Vancouver, they'd be rock stars.
Hey, Thomas, why don't you and Don get lunch with the owner? And you know, you guys could come up with a really good tell the owner to give you 2 hours, both of you. I think you guys could pull it off and convince him.
Been there, done that.
I was going to say, this sounds like great radio to me. Let's do it. Let's get him on the crossover.
That was during the Pratt era.
No, Donnie's got a.
I've got
Donnie's got
copy.
A good story.
Okay, don't get me in trouble here.
We can't tell the story, but Donnie's got a good story about that. But, you know, Thomas, you need to call the Canucks up and get lunch with Aquilini and maybe go attack him and tell him that.
Right after Farhan finishes his lunch with Tockett.
Look, hey, what are you saying?
Like, no,
we understand why the club hasn't rebuilt. We understand that ownership doesn't know how to win.
Okay.
We've seen that. Clearly, they've shown us.
Okay. All right.
That's it.
Like, all right.
It's not that you're being like super realistic here by saying ownership doesn't want to do the right thing. We know that. I'm just pointing out that sort of what the cost is and the fact that there are models that exist well beyond, you know, the Chicago and Buffalo failures that we've seen. There are teams making progress that have gone through rebuilds responsibly, credibly, executed it right. And to just wave the white flag and surrender and be like, it's impossible to get better when teams are doing it all around you every single season shouldn't be acceptable. Like, that's not good argument. That's just excuse making.
Well, here's another thing, Thomas. I've been around. I've watched this team since 1970. Little Donnie back in North Burnaby. How would something different?
Yes.
And a rebuild fits into that category. You know what I mean? Just it hasn't worked yet. I know that they got to, you know, 3 Stanley Cup finals, and that was great. But by and large, just, I don't know. I just like to see something different, something to juice this market. And I think that's the way to go.
I'll wrap it up on this because I know you got to run, Rick. And Ryan texts into our inbox. It's been 15 years of dog bleep hockey. Try something different. That was my issue with the trade deadline as well. We've seen this story. Give us a new story. Give us something new to root for. And Rick, by the way, I'm looking at it now. Downtown Vancouver to White Rock, 53 minutes via 91. So take the 91.
Yeah,
that's your fastest route.
So I got
gives you
53
minutes. You're going to be there with 45 minutes to spare.
You said it took you hours to get over the bridge. Hours. It's going to take you 45 years to rebuild, too.
Hey, and one final thing. Just let me finish.
Okay,
one final
on.
Thing on the coach.
This is you on you all... now, Rick. This
no,
is on you.
No,
the time.
What are you
no,
doing?
No, just quickly. No, quickly. You talk about Thomas. Zip the lip. You talk about the coach. Oh, and if he leaves, Jamie, that's 4 coaches in 4 years. How unstable
well, thanks
is that?
Thanks for that, Rick.
No, but hold it a second. Everyone's all over Tockett. Everyone's, you know, get rid of this guy. That's 4 years. Does that scream stability to you? Four coaches in 4 years? You know, like, are you okay with that? Because the fifth guy coming in, the fifth guy, you're going to be all over
him. He just said goodbye to you.
Yeah,
it's
the
3.
Fifth guy
Isn't it 3,
coming
Rick?
In, you're going to be all
not,
over him by Christmas.
I'm not all over,
I gotta go.
I'm not
I gotta
all
go.
Over Tockett.
Who's the fourth guy? Who's the fourth guy? Rick's,
all right.
Rick's,
well, maybe
we're exaggerating numbers today.
It's
like
not
crazy.
Rick. He's left.
He's left. Rick is out of here. We might need to get lunch to patch things over, but hopefully we'll have another edition of the crossover next week. Shout out to Don Taylor and Rick Dhaliwal. You can watch their show, Donnie and Dolly, Monday to Friday, 10 to noon on Czech TV.
Was I in that bad a mood?
You were pretty ticked off. You were pretty ticked off.
You were perturbed. The
I will say, and like it's spicy and there's an element of performance to it. The hockey 101 to Don Taylor, to BC Sports Hall of Famer Don Taylor. I was like, whoo.
Yeah, that takes cojones,
that's,
Thomas.
That's some
respect,
high heat. That's some high
respect
heat.
Respect is earned.
Hey, everyone knows how I feel about Don Taylor and what I think of his hockey knowledge
by the way,
through the roof. I just think he was wrong in that moment about the Canucks third period. That was not like they backed back into that game. That was all. I was just being a jerk.
By the way, Dolly just sat back down on his desk. So.
That's how you know it's performance. Anyway, we'll patch things up.
Takes hours.
They just sat down.
Hours to get from Vancouver to White Rock. Anyways, if you want more of that patented Dollywall insight. You can hear it on Kipper and Bourne coming up at 2 o'clock on Sportsnet 650. But we've got lots more Canucks talk to get into here on the show called Canucks Talk, Sportsnet 650.